The Bible reading tonight is from Ephesians 2, actually, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. And it can be found on pages 820. Let's hope I can read this. And 829 of your Red Pew Bibles, or just follow along on the screen behind. Living as children of the light. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to having hardening of the hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more.
You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Sorry, you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness.
Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up in according to their needs, and that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you.
Alrighty. Welcome everyone. It's great to have you here. We've had a great afternoon with the youth. We've been hanging out, having all-you-can-eat pancakes outside. And then we had Roof Ball World Cup in the hall. You probably don't want to know, and if I want to keep my job, I won't tell you what that looks like. And yeah, we're sorry about that light, maybe a little bit. All right. So as Claire said earlier, we are continuing our series in Ephesians tonight. And tonight I want us to be thinking about our own lives, and do our lives look distinctive because of our relationship with Jesus? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. I pray for us all, Lord, that you will break into our lives, Lord. Speak to us individually tonight, Lord. Break us down and just help us to feel your love, Lord, and know where you want us to change and how you want us to become more like you. I pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, since becoming the youth pastor here 4 years ago, I have had to spend some time learning what is cool, what is trendy, and what is in culture right now. Before I took this role, I lived in Indonesia for a bit over a year and a half. And during that time in Indonesia, everything changed. Well, it seemed to me that it did. Facebook came in. I was not cool because I didn't have Facebook and I didn't understand how I needed to have 600 friends. But anyway, Facebook came in, everybody got an iPhone, and I was left behind. So one of the biggest shocks I found out when I came back, that apparently now it is cool to dance. This blew me away. In high school, if you were a guy and you decided it was a good idea to want to boogie or dance, me and my friends would probably take you behind the toilets and beat you up. But apparently now, it's cool. Who knew? I even planned whole nights for youth around dancing. There's all these new dance styles, something called crumping. Who wants crumpets? I don't want crumpets. I don't even like crumpets. Youth spend their whole time learning to dance and build their reputations around this. Another new recent fad is the onesie. It is now super cool to put on some animal suit looking thing or a character and walk around in it. Whether it's a party, a sleepover, going to youth group, heading out into the city. I'm not really sure what started this trend, but a few people got into it and now everyone's wearing onesies. Now, it takes a bit of commitment to wear your onesie because once you have it on, you have this giant crutch walking around and it is super sweaty. But once someone has seen you're out in it and you're seen in your onesie, you can't really just take that thing off because everyone's like, where's your onesie? You're not committed to your onesie? And before we know it, we're all out there wearing onesies. And before you know it, there's your 34-year-old youth pastor walking down the street in his onesie, thinking that he is cool, but clearly not. All right, over the past few years, we've had emos, we've had gamers, we've had indies, we've had people who define themselves, whether they're Mac or PC, people who are into cars, people who are into fashion, just to name a few. So where do you fit in? What defines you right now? Are you a onesie wearer? A Mac person? What makes you distinctive? Well, I say all this to ask this. What has become norm in our culture? And where, as Christians, do we fit into it? Are we people that fit into what is cool or what is culture right now? Or are we distinctive because of our relationship with Jesus? And this is what Paul is interested in here in Ephesians. And this is what Nathan was speaking about last week, calling us to walk a life worthy of our relationship with Christ. For us to be different from the world around us. For us to be distinctive. And as we look in chapter 4 here, as it starts off, Paul starts off with telling us that life without Jesus is meaningless. In verse 17, it says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. It is futile in their futile of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with continual lust for more." The Gentiles here, before they came to Christ, and now they've come to Christ, and Paul's asking them to live differently. He's asking them to live transformed lives. And he's telling them here, life without Christ is meaningless. But life now with Christ must be different. They must be distinctive. They must be different from their culture around them. It's a horrible picture here that Paul paints of a life without Jesus. He presents a group of people who are futile in their thinking, who are darkened in their understanding, who are arrogant, who have hardened hearts, and who have lost all sensitivity to the things around them. And they have a lust for more of this. Now, we are warned that we are not to live in this world, as of this world. Christians are to be in the world, but not of it. We are supposed to be distinctive. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't go out there and try and influence the world for Christ, but it is a reminder of just how desperate our world does and how much it does need Jesus. It's a horrible picture that Paul paints here of people who don't know Jesus. Life without Jesus is meaningless. The thinking of the Gentiles was to no end fruitless, pointless, and meaningless. But life with Christ is transforming. As Christians, we must live transformed lives with a sharp contrast to those around us and those that do not know the transforming love of Christ. In our verse 20, it says, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Now we have to understand that knowing Jesus is more than knowing about Jesus. Knowing Jesus is more than knowing about Jesus. It's more than just knowing facts. It's about relationship. It's about personally knowing Christ. Now, I've been doing youth ministry probably 10 years in different forms, and over those 10 years, I think that I've got caught up in seeing kids know Jesus, to be able to sit there and tell me answers. And I think that as we come to church and it becomes more and more habit, we get caught in this as well, that we can sit there and blurt out all this Christian jargon, that we can sit there and answer the questions that are thrown at us, but it never goes from here to here. It is never turned into a personal love for Christ. It never changes our life. We want to live lives that ooze Jesus, that every part of your life is pointing to the cross and pointing to the sacrifice that he has made you, the decisions you make. People should be able to look in and see Christ. I was meeting with someone this week and we were talking about their parents and we were saying that if their parents were not to speak, their life would still point to Christ. Their actions say everything. And it's a real challenge to not just know about Jesus and switch it on and off in your life when you want to say the right things, when you want to answer, when you're hanging out with your so-called Christian friends. That is something that is every part of your life, that it is life-changing. And it's just not something that you know, but it's something that you live and that it is a passion inside of you that everybody can see. God already told us about himself in the Old Testament, but in Jesus we have the opportunity to know him in a tangible way. The truth is not facts about Jesus. Rather, the truth is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We know the truth by knowing Jesus. Jesus makes all the difference. It's his transforming love that changes our life. We are called to cast off our old self and put those things aside. We are to no longer walk that way as it leads to death and destruction. And Paul says in Romans 12:2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now in the 90s, many years ago now, some of you probably weren't even born, there was a super cool group called the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. They ran around in skin-tight suits, and it was an unlikely hit, as that it was made in Japan, and they put it out into Australia with really bad dubbed English over the top. But the appeal to this show was that by day, these guys were ordinary teenagers, but at any time, they could call out, "It's morph time." And they would go, jump in their suits, and save the world. And the idea of being able to be transformed in this way was appealing to so many people, maybe even me, okay? But in a similar way, we are called to be transformed by Jesus because of the cost he paid for us. And just as young people and myself wanted to transform into superheroes, we should desire to change to be like Christ. Our lives are new. There should be something different. There should be something distinctive in us because of Christ's love. For this to take place, we need to daily, continually renewing our minds to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Renewal takes place through God's Word, through investing time in reading your Bible, through God's Spirit talking to us, through having relationship with Christ, including him in all that we do, soaking ourselves in God's word, giving a chance to renew our minds. Are we thinking of Christ? Are we including him in everything that we do? So what does this new life look like? So on a Friday night at youth, the youth turn up and we spend the first kind of 15, 20 minutes playing soccer or basketball, and I relive my glory days when I could run around and actually play sport. After that 15 minutes, we usually go into a time that we call creative ministries. And in this time, we present to the youth in different ways, whether a video, a drama, or a song, always kind of a short talk attached about what we are going to look at in pod time. And it's to just get them thinking about what the passage is going to say tonight or how they could live for Christ. So tonight we're going to give you a bit of that action. I've asked a bunch of my youth leaders who are quite nervous about doing it in front of you, but they love Christ, so they're giving it a shot for you. They're going to come up and they're going to do a drama for us on this next bit of the passage. Now, clearly they're not going to present to you the passage beautifully as Nathan would preach it. I would not say myself, but as Nathan would preach it. Okay, so the idea is to get you thinking about it, to make you think about your life and how Jesus fits in. The idea is not to be perfect on the passage. So tonight we're continuing our series in a drama with Matt and Hannah. Matt and Hannah, over the last 2 years for us, have been running the race of life in their Christian walk. So the first time they came along and they ran the race and they came up against things like Facebook, hotties, I forget what the other one was, something like that. And then about 3 weeks ago, we had them again and we followed them around during their normal life and we caught them out not living for Christ and doing things even though they thought they were. So tonight we're continuing that race, so it gives you a bit of feedback of what's coming up so it's just not confusing. But the bit of the passage they're looking at is this. In verse 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not let give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed from the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every other form of malice. All right, thanks guys. Thanks, Mas.
Welcome back, everyone, to this live coverage of The Race of Your Life. We've been following the lives of two young athletes, Matt and Hannah. We first met these two incredible young people a few years ago when they first decided to give their lives to Christ. They were faced with many fierce challenges. If I remember correctly, there was the temptation of the raging parties, the seduction of the hotties, and the distraction of Facebook. But as the race unfolded, and against all odds with the help of the Holy Spirit, they made it through. They finished the race and overcame these challenges by holding on to Jesus. We will now cross live to Jackson Buckley to see how the races are going.
Yeah, that's right. I'm down here at the bench with the sand between my toes. And it's a glorious day for racing. Very excited. And we're following these two young athletes, and I'm excited for this race because we know what their lives have been like over the past couple of weeks. And it's going to be interesting to see how they finish off the race.
Well, without further delay, the race is about to start, so we're going to head on down to the action right now with Jackson reporting live. Jackson, how are things going at the race?
Yeah, well, I'm down here live on the scene.
It's an interesting race ahead of us. It's going to be fun. I've got the athletes down here to my right. They're warming up. And as you can tell, it's going to be interesting. Some of them are fit for the race. Some of them aren't quite so fit for the race. I'm going to see if I can grab their attention and see how they're going. Firstly, I'll grab Hannah. Hannah. Have you been preparing for this race over the last couple of weeks, considering that you weren't quite on track with your life and with Jesus?
Yeah, I was a bit taken aback by the results of last race, but you know, I've been reading my Bible a lot and listening to what God has to say to me. I think I'm ready to go again.
Excellent. So good to hear. I'll let you get back to it. I'm also going to try and grab Matt as well. Matt, favourite for the race?
Mate.
Legs are looking good in those tights, I must say. just let me know after where you got them from. I'll go there. But tell us, you know, how did you prepare for the race, considering you weren't quite on track with your life with Jesus?
Yeah, mate, it was a real eye-opener when you had your blokes follow us around for that day. And, yeah, God taught me a few things, and I think I'm ready to go.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Back to you in the commentary box.
All right, well, the race is about to start. Now that our athletes are walking with God, let's see how they go in the race and if they choose to be distinctive for Jesus or if they turn back and shy away from being a Christian.
Runners, on your marks. Gets it. Go! And they're off at blistering pace. It's a solid race. They're in their walks, going to church, going to youth group, reading their Bibles every night, talking to their friends about Jesus, not even skipping church for parties. This is incredible. They're both going strong. What are your thoughts up in the commentary box?
It's a solid race at the moment, Jackson. Both excited about their walks with Jesus and keeping their eyes on the prize. But wait, what's this? The first challenge is coming up.
It looks like we've hit our first obstacle. This is going to be incredible. They're in the office and they're checking their bank account details and their emails. Let's see if we can get a closer look at what Matt's thinking. Oh my goodness. They believe that they've just got $200 overpaid, and Matt's thinking about a new 52-inch plasma screen and a necklace for his girlfriend. He's taking a selfish option on that decision. Incredible. Let's see what Hannah thinks about her overpayment of $200. What's she going to do? She's a bit confused. She calls for the boss, and the boss comes over. Looks like they're sorting things out. Yep, she's going to give the money back. Excellent decision by Hannah. She's chosen the narrow road, and they're back off and running. Incredible events. I can't believe what I've just seen. I'm going to see if I can go and get an opinion on Matt on that last obstacle. Matt, can you run us through what was going on in your head in that last obstacle?
Oh, mate, I think I made the wrong call there.
Yeah, what happened? What were you thinking about?
Oh, mate, I was just thinking about that money there. My eyes lit up and thought about that TV, and yeah, that was it.
Well, good luck in the next obstacle, mate. You're going to need it. I'm now down here live at the second obstacle, and this one's going to be tough. We've got a dinner party with their non-Christian friends, and let's see what happens. They're saying hello, greeting each other. The friends go to ask Hannah where she was on the weekend. Let's see what her response is.
Oh, you know, I was just at home, you know, I didn't really do much. It wasn't that exciting.
Interesting response. Clearly avoided the question and saying that she was at church. Not the right answer right there. The friends are now going to ask Matt the exact same question, where he was on the weekend. Response.
Sorry, I couldn't come to your party. I went to youth group.
Interesting call. They now ask him why.
Well, because I love Jesus and want to learn more about him and just hang out with my Christian mates.
Wow, the friends are laughing at him. Tough call by Matt, but he's definitely chosen the right decision to follow the narrow road and choose Jesus. This is incredible. I can't believe what I'm seeing. And this is, I'm going to see if I can grab Hannah. Thoughts on that last obstacle, Hannah?
What was I thinking? I was more worried about my non-Christian friends than what Jesus thinks. Oh, mistake.
Well, I can't say anything. I'm just the commentator, so I'm just going to go ahead. So good luck for the final leg of the race.
Thank you.
I'm down here live at the third obstacle, the final leg of the race. And you won't believe what we're seeing. There's two runners approaching from behind as they're getting close to the drinks table, and they come through and knock them over. Oh my goodness, this is outrageous. Matt blows up. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, they've thrown water in his face. And he blows, and he's thrown it back. That is a bit dramatic. And he's blown up, walked off in a storm with colourful language. Let's see if injured Hannah, let's see what her response is. And they throw water at her as well. And what's she going to do? She's coming, she's going to be okay about it. She's going to walk it off like nothing happened. Incredible turn of events. The runners cross the line, they finish the race. And this, I don't believe what's just happened. Incredible race. What are your thoughts in the commentary box?
Awesome scenes here as the runners have finished yet another race of their long Christian journey. They have journeyed with Jesus, obeying and standing up for Christ in most situations. They have every right to be celebrating and encouraging each other, high-fiving, as they finish the race. But it's not over yet. There is a long way to go. I believe Jackson has both the runners now for an interview.
Yes, I do have the runners down here live after the race. Incredible race it was at that. I've now got Hannah to my right here. Hannah, just run us through the journey that you just had there with Jesus in that race.
Yeah, I thought I was doing all right, but that party scene, I mean, I took my eyes off Jesus, wasn't listening to him.
Yeah, tough one, I know. But can you tell us, what's kept you going through that race and sticking to that narrow road?
Well, you know, God's chosen me to be in a relationship with him, and then even though it's hard sometimes, I've just got to keep remembering what Jesus has done for me and focusing on that. That helps me keep choosing the narrow road.
So good to hear, encouraging and to be reminded of. I'm now going to grab Matt, ask him a couple of questions. Matt, can you take us through what happened in that race? A couple of doozies there, wasn't there?
Yeah, especially that last one, that was too much water. Yeah. But, I think I just lost the plot at the end there and, succumbed to the temptations before, but God will probably teach me through those ones.
Definitely. And can you also just tell us what's been keeping you going through that race? I mean, can you run us through your thought process as you are making those options?
Yeah, for me, or for everyone, it's all about what Jesus has done for us and just keeping that eternal focus.
Incredible. Well, you heard it here first, folks. That's all for me down here live. I'm Jackson Buckley. Back to you in the commentary box.
And there you have it. What a race.
Matt, God might forgive you, but the bass amp might not. That might be coming out of youth budget. Sorry about that. All right, as we saw the runners running their race, and as I said, it clearly doesn't cover the passage super well, but it's just to get you thinking about that, and that is your homework, to go home, reflect on what has happened here, and go home and read the rest of that passage. And it's encouraging us to live lives with integrity, to live lives in community, to be loving to each other, to speak into each other's lives. And let's just wrap this up with verse 32. And it says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ forgave you. Kindness, compassion, forgiveness. Just as Christ forgave us. Life with Jesus is distinctive from this world. So what do our lives look like right now? What are we worried about? Are we worried about our onesie and what we're going to look like in it? Or are we worried about and thinking about how Christ has died for us? He calls us to be distinctive. Are you more like Jesus or more like everyone around you? Do you promote truth and integrity in all you do, like Jesus did? Are you a person that can be trusted? Do you treat others differently, like Jesus did? Do you use words differently, like Jesus would have? Do you really readily forgive, like Jesus does? Do you show love and not hate, like Jesus did? Do you give rather than take? Do you walk to the beat of a different drum? If we put our lives side by side with Jesus, we do fall short. But God is transforming us more and more every day to be like His Son. The question is, are you willing to let Him? Are you going to let Him make you more distinctive and be able to show more love and more of Him in this world? When we stand at the foot of the cross and witness the love and sacrifice of Christ, we cannot but be gracious and loving and distinctive, and we know that life should never be the same. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage tonight, Lord. We just pray as we go from this place tonight, Lord, that you will speak to us individually, Lord. We want to praise you and thank you so much for Christ's love, that he was willing to go to the cross for us, that we do have that eternal goal of spending eternity with you, Lord. Look after us this week, Lord. Bring us back safe next week. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.